So Taylor made that. That's like a year in video. Is that pretty cool? Can we thank you, Taylor, for doing that? Pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right, stand with me. Let's read some scripture this morning. Stand with me as we enter the joy of the Lord will be our strength. Scriptures. We're going to read three. We'll read two. Here we go. Amos, Old Testament 6:1 says this. It says, "Woe to you who are complacent in Zion, and to you who feel secure on Mount Samaria, you notable men of the foremost nation, to whom the people of Israel come." Interesting verse. Mark 4:14-20, "The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time," says Jesus. "But when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and they produce a crop some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." Father, we come before you this morning in your most holy name. Father, we've left our homes to come to this house, the house of God. We gather in the name of your Son, Jesus. We come to worship the Lord in spirit this morning with our hearts. We come to worship in truth with our minds. God, we come with grateful hearts, thanking you for this day. We know, Lord, that where two or more gather, you are with us. We know, Lord, that you inhabit the praises of your people. We know, God, that you are here. We know that your eyes are upon us. And Lord, you give us comfort. Well, that's what we desire. So Jesus, would you speak into our hearts today? May your spirit come upon us. May you calm those that are anxious. May you bring courage to those that have fear. We pray for those that look toward the future and tremble, that you would give them peace because your presence is with them. Pray for those in storms. You give them courage in the storm, and that you'd walk on water soon and show yourself. You are the good shepherd. We are your flock. We sit here at your feet today, God. Speak into our lives, we ask. We pray this in Jesus' name. All those who love the Lord again would say, amen. Good to see you this morning. I want to start off this morning by telling you a story. When I first became a believer, God put in my life a guy named John. And John is about 8 years older than me. He's a strong man of God. And we were living down in Dana Point together. And John was teaching me how to surf. I was learning how to surf as a young Christian. And after about a year or two, John went away on what was called a DTS. It was YWAM. It's called Disciple Training Ship Schools. He went to Kenya, and he lived in Kenya for 6 months. And it was a training school in Kenya. So... And you know, it was cool. I had to get another roommate, and that's all right. You know, kept checking in on him, and he was talking about things that God was teaching him. And he came back, and a short while later, he had met a friend over there. And this guy from Kenya, this was about in the late 80s, by the way. And John said, I met a really good friend over there, and I want to bring him over to America. I said, let's do it, you know. And we brought this guy over. He'd never been to this country. John was telling me that when he was in Kenya, he worshipped in a church that had a hut, and during the service, cows would walk through the service. Okay? And he said, but it was the most wonderful spirit, just you could feel the love of Jesus in that place. And so when we brought this guy here, John wanted to take him to the Crystal Cathedral. Robert Schuller, has anyone ever been to the Crystal Cathedral? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. So we take this guy on a Sunday morning to the Crystal Cathedral. When he came out, he was very quiet. And he said, I need to go back to Kenya and tell people that we need to pray for you. And I, what is it you feel that you need to pray for us for? He said, weeds. Referring to Jesus' parable when Jesus said that the word of God is thrown on the soils and, you know, thrown on the road and someone hears it and doesn't take up, and then it's thrown here in a rocky soil, it springs up for a little while, and then it's sown over here and it grows for a while, but then weeds come in and choke it out. He says, we need to pray for you. We need to pray for you. Think about that. Last 2 weeks has been an amazing two services here at our church. 2 weeks ago, we honored the persecuted church. How many people was here for that? Was that an amazing service, right? We talked about the persecuted church that's happening in China. We talked about the persecuted church that's happening in the Middle East right now. We talked about the persecuted church that's happening in India. And we had Pastor Moses come from India, and he was sharing about the challenges that our brothers and sisters are having right now in India. Hamid shared. Hamid and Susan are amazing. They're in the back. Can everybody just say, Hamid, you guys rock. It's such an honor to have you in our church. It's such an honor to have you in our church. It's pretty crazy. Hamid shared what it's like to be for him to accept Christ in Iran, and how he was thrown in jail and told that if he didn't recant, that he would be killed. Him and his wife were given their wills and said, you either recant Jesus or we're going to... has anyone had to go through this in your Christian faith? They are here, and you are very precious to us. We're honored that you're... And they told their story. That was a persecuted church. It was an awesome Sunday. The last Sunday, we... kind of told the story of Woodbridge Community Church. We told about its history. How many was here for that one? Wasn't that a great, right? Isn't it cool just to know when this church began in 1971, there was 12,000 people living in the city of Irvine? Anyone? A youth pastor named Rich Samuelson from San Jose says he just feels his calling to plant a church here. And he does, in great faith. People took out mortgages on their houses to buy a piece of property on Barranca Parkway of 3 acres. For $165,000, they bought this piece of land. And then they began building. And, you know, when there's an old saying that we all benefit in here from the sacrifice of other people. Okay? And that's true. Last Sunday was Veterans Day. We honored our veterans. We benefit from the sacrifice of people that have gone before us. And today, there's just certain things that you're benefiting from just because other people sacrificed for you. And sometimes we don't even realize it. And yet we have to remember, right? We have freedom today. Did you know that it's legal to worship the Lord here in this country today? Do you know what a blessing that is, right? And for us to be able to have a place we can worship God freely, we stand on the backs of giants. And that was the message of last week. And it was so cool because Millie Nordstrom was here, and Millie's got dementia now, but last Sunday she was here, and show pictures of Don up there and Shirley Cox was really cool. And it was fun to give Millie a hug. That was the last 2 weeks. Today, 48 years later, after this church was started, we have an amazing church. We have an amazing church. This is a great Jesus community. Do I hear an amen? You know, last week we had what was called Meet the Pastors, and there are people that have been coming to our church, and we want them to come meet the pastors, and all I did in there was brag on this church, and the history of this church, and people come in here, and they're like, man, tell us more about this and that and the other, and we just started bragging about you, and it's so cool. Sin and I both feel this way. If I wasn't the pastor at this church, we'd be coming here because we love this church. We love the congregation. We love the authenticity of the people. We love the leadership of the church. We have an amazing pastoral staff, don't we though? We have amazing volunteers in this church. This is an amazing church. It's a healthy church. It's a good church. Look at this, right? And it's, I love this church. You know, so a few weeks ago, let's say a month ago, the leadership of our church gathered right here. We brought the cross down here. And all that week, they were, our leadership team was encouraged to fast, to pray, to ask God, is there any sins in my life that I need to confess before the Almighty God? We went through a time of confession, a time of cleansing, and we began asking the Lord, God, where are you at work in our church? Where are you moving? Where are you leading? And we would do this all individually, and then we came together here, and we had a time of worship, and we brought the cross in, and we just sat around, and we began talking. You know, I'm feeling God. Last year, when we did this, we felt that the Lord was telling us that He was going to do new things in our church. That God was going to do new things. And we kept, it was weird when you hear one person, another person saying, no, I feel like God just has something new for us this year. And the other person said, that's so funny, I thought the same thing. And we would start praying about that. And this was last year. Hey, in the last 14 months, what new things have happened at this church? Any ideas? We started a preschool, a Christian preschool, that now has 50 kids over there every week, all Christian teachers, hearing about Jesus with chapels. That happened. That's, we call it new wine. Remember when Jesus says there's new wine, He's come to bring something new? Well, what are some things that's new that's happened here in the last 15 months? MOPS has started up in the last 15 months, and it's really rolling. It is so cool. Mothers of preschoolers, they're coming to the church. They're hearing about Jesus. We're blessing up on them. That's new. It's happened. The tree lighting service last year, that was new. We've never done it before. How many people went to the tree lighting service? Wasn't it awesome? So we plant a tree out in the courtyard. It's, you know, we set one up and we invite all our Sunday school kids are making ornaments they put on the tree. Our small groups all came together and they made an ornament representing their small group, and we sang Christmas carols and we had the choir out there and we did a special tree lighting, and people were talking about how we worship God in different countries. Tamid and Susan shared about how they spent Christmases in the Middle East, quietly celebrating Christmas in their home church. Remember that? It was new. How people worship in the Philippines or India. It was awesome. It was great. Something new we did. In January of this year, PJ left. Because anyone who's PJ? Pastor Jonathan. PJ went to Thailand with Lailat. And we knew, like, okay, God, who's going to be our new worship leader? What does that look like? And we were praying about that. And we just asked Josh, just, dude, would you please do this between January and Easter, and let's just see how it goes. And he did. And then he's still doing it. Can we thank Josh Arnaldo because he's still leading us? It's new wine. It's new wine. It's new wine. It's good stuff, man. We did a couples retreat last year. First one we ever did in the church. We wanted to get the married couples away and just pour into their lives. We did that down at the Carlsbad Inn. That was so cool. Last year, we did something that was pretty new. It was called the Passover Seder. Remember we went through the life of Jesus, the last 24 hours of Jesus' life, and we walked through the Passover meal. How many people went to the Seder meal? Was that awesome when Rabbi Feldman came and they walked through, this is what the meal would have looked like that Jesus was eating? It's called a Seder. It was so fun. This is all new stuff. It was run. You know, a group of people got together and they created a running ministry at our church, Run WCC, right? Just organic, just kind of happened. Pretty cool. In the summertime, we had our first summer women's Facebook Bible study. My wife's like, I'm like, what are you going to do again? She goes, we're just going to read this book, and people are all over on vacation, but we're going to get together online, and it was awesome. New wine. New stuff. The youth group, last year we didn't have the family camp, because it's hard to get camps now that are going to allow people. They keep starting school earlier and earlier. It's tough for us. Our youth went off. And after, 4 or 5 years, they had their own youth camp. And David said it was a revival, that kids were just weeping before the Lord and getting serious and real with God. New wine. We thought it'd be cool to do the persecuted church. We wanted to do a service. God, a year ago, we were sensing the Lord saying, I'm going to do new things. In the last year, we've seen a lot of new things. And it's been fun, hasn't it? Really cool. That was last year. In September, October, we were here praying. And this morning, I just want to tell you a little bit about things that we as a leadership team thought we were sensing God just speaking into our lives. So I want you to just take note with us this morning. So we were sitting around here and we were asking the Lord, what do you want to say? Where are you at work? Where are you moving? Where are you leading? See, there's something different. You don't tell God this is where you want to go and you ask Him to bless it. Don't do that. Too many churches do that, people. This is where we're going. This is what we want to do. Okay, God, bless us now. Who's in charge? What you do is you sit, Jesus says, my Father is always about His work. Your job and my job is to see where is God at work and join Him in what He's doing. Total difference. Do you get it? Where is God at work? Where are you moving? Where are you leading? Can I join you in what you're doing? Because the Father is always about His work, says Jesus. You see where God's at work, you join Him in it. That was our prayer around here. Fasting, praying, seeking the Lord. God, speak into our lives. The first thing we heard, weeds. Weeds. We were talking, we're like, we need to defend against distractions, against things that would take us away from God. That was a big discussion here. Complacency. We were feeling like God was saying, our church is not complacent. Do I hear an amen? We're doing good things for the Lord. But we sense that God was saying, speak to the church and tell them to defend against being complacent and comfortable and lazy. Complacency was a big one. Complacency. Does anything good come out of being complacent? Does anything good come out of being spiritually comfortable or spiritually distracted? Anything? I've been reading in my quiet times lately about King David. And here's just a quiet time Pastor Frank had about 3-4 days ago. In 2 Samuel 11:1, it says, in the springtime, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israeli army. They attacked the Amorites and besieged Rabbah. But check this out. But David remained in Jerusalem. Why did David remain in Jerusalem? Does anyone know why? The man after God's own heart stayed in Jerusalem. He decided to stay in Jerusalem because it was comfortable there. He was complacent. How many people in here knows how that worked out for him? How did that work out for him? Well, he got distracted. There was some lady named Bathsheba, right? Married. And he has an affair with her. And she gets pregnant. Problems. Things begin happening in David's life that he wishes that you and I don't read about in the Bible. Is there anything that ever happened in your life that you didn't want the whole world to read about? Well, David gets it just thrown right out. And that's what I love about the scriptures. It's warts and all, man. This is what it is. And there's a season in David's life when he wishes he would have defended himself against being complacent. Complacent. In our life, when we get spiritually comfortable, when we get spiritually complacent, that's when we blow it. That's when we in our lives have things that begin happening we don't want people to read about. So there's a story about Jesus, and we talked about this. Jesus gives a story of the Word of God being thrown along the path of humanity, right? And he speaks on, and he's a, you know, it's an agricultural society, and there's just a road. If you take seed and throw it on the road, it's too hard, right? It just dies immediately. He says if you throw seed in rocky soil. It'll grow up for a season, but there's no firm root there. And in time, it'll die. He says, oh, but what about here's good soil? But you throw the soil in there, or you throw the seed, the Word of God, and it'll grow, but then weeds come up. You've got to weed your backyard, right? The weed, have you noticed that sometimes grass is replaced by weeds? You're supposed to weed. It chokes out the good stuff. And it's interesting when Jesus says that this third soil, because there's worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things comes in and chokes out the word, and their lives become unfruitful, unfruitful, unfruitful. See, this is what the man from Kenya was talking about. And this was his words. He says, we need to pray for you here in America. The church in America, he goes, we always thought that you guys need to pray for us. He says, but now I've been here and I need to go back to Kenya and tell them, we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in America because there's too many distractions. He says, for us in Kenya, it's easy to worship God. We're poor. We're poor. He said, you here, how do you do it? So much wealth. And with wealth comes the distractions and the worries. He says, I need to go back and tell my church to pray for you. Is he right? Do you own things or do things own you? The stuff you own. Do you really own it? Does it own you? What's the distractions? What's the deceitfulness of wealth? Jesus says that wealth is deceitful. What is it that's so deceitful about wealth? Thinking that by owning stuff, it will satisfy you. If you think if you buy that, you'll be satisfied, you're wrong. Am I right? It's the deceitfulness of wealth and distractions that come in and choke out fruit in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of... Right? Seek ye first what? Apparently, according to my brother in Kenya, it's easier to seek ye first the kingdom of God there than here, according to him. Is he right? Especially in Orange County, especially in Irvine. See, Jesus says that distractions and wealth can choke out the way we should be living our life. And he says it's a tragedy when that happens. That you that you're not fruitful. We as a leadership team, we just felt God saying, tell my people to be careful about the weeds. Be careful about the weeds. Be careful about being comfortable. Be careful about being complacent. Be careful about being distracted. Stay focused. And we thought, okay, Lord, we hear you. So that's what we're going to do. Take notes this morning. Following Jesus in 2020. One thing that we are, as a church next year, going to be really mindful of is defend against complacency, comfort, and distractions. We want to help you guys to defend against being complacent, comfortable, and distractions. Listen to this. Amos 1 says, woe to you who are complacent in Zion. Woe means warning. It's a warning. And he's speaking to the leaders. It's interesting. To the leaders of woe to you that are complacent. It's a warning. Because when you get complacent, you become unfruitful. Nothing comes out of being spiritually complacent. Just ask King David, okay? So, question. How are we going as a church to defend against this. And this was what was really got weird in a good way. We kept, as we were here, God, it was like someone says, I just feel God wants us to give more testimony. And someone over there said, oh my gosh, that's just what I got. And then another person said, that is what I was, and we felt like God was saying, testimony. 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 There's something about testimony. I'll read something to you. In Revelation 12:11, it says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their own lives so much as to shrink from death. I want you to, we're going to memorize this verse next year. They triumphed over him. Contextually, this is about in the last days during a great persecution that's happening in the world that's still coming with the Antichrist, that the Christians at that time will triumph over this persecution. And how do they do that? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. There's something about testimony that has power. Have you ever noticed that? There's something about the Word of God and testimony. When it comes together, there's power in it. Here's a great story. So some of you are going to go with me to Israel next April. Every 2 years we go. And Sarah is just an amazing Messianic Jew. That's our tour guide over there. And we brought her over here a few years ago. I think it's 2010. So Sarah has a very interesting story. So Sarah, her dad is Jewish. Her mom is not. Her mom went and worked on a kibbutz down in Tel Aviv. She met this guy. They got married. They had two daughters. And mom started coming back to her faith in Jesus. Her dad was angry because she came home one day from a Messianic congregation singing, Yeshua loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And Yeshua is the Hebrew word for Jesus. He got angry, said she's Jewish. The mom says Jesus is Jewish. They got in a big fight. Her father picked up the New Testament and read it and became a believer. And he became one of the first Christian tour guides in Israel. Back in like the 70s. They moved to Jerusalem. 3,000 kids at Jerusalem High School. Sarah said there was about 4 believers in the whole school that believed in Jesus. Can you imagine? She says, Pastor Frank, in Israel, they ask you, are you a religious or a non-religious Jew? And all you do is say, I'm religious or I'm non-religious. And she says, in religious, there's all these different components, but they just want to know, are you religious and non-religious? She said, I never told anybody that I was a believer in Jesus until my junior year of high school, when a boy came up to her and said, you believe in Yeshua, don't you? And she said she was afraid. And she looked at him and she said, yes. Her words were, the moment I said yes, I felt a weight come off of me. And I was no longer afraid to tell people that I believed that in Jesus. And she says, from that moment on, I just quit being afraid of people. And I told everybody I can about Yeshua. There's power in her. The moment she gave testimony, it became power to her. Does it make sense? There's something about the blood of the Lamb with testimony that as we go, it brings power. And it's freeing. Testimony. We feel that God wants you to give testimony next year. Because if you give testimony, you will not be complacent. You will be blessed for doing it. And the people around you will be blessed for doing it. Especially the person who you are speaking to. And testimony is an interesting thing. I call it like there's macro. You remember economics? There's macro, micro. Macro testimony is your big testimony about Jesus. man, this is how I met Jesus. So this is, you know, and it's a beautiful testimony. The Apostle Paul so many times would give his testimony about his road to Damascus and how he met Christ. But you know, that's testimony, but there's micro testimony. Testimony about what God is doing in your life every day. A while ago, on Wednesdays, we've been going through, in the Word Speaks, through Exodus. And there's a sweet sister in our church who says, you know, I've been reading about Exodus and how God's people complained all the time. And she says, I think I've been complaining too much. And I've told God, I'm sorry, I need to stop. I feel, and it was beautiful, as it, she was giving testimony. Do you understand what God is doing in her life right now? And there's power in it. There's power in testimony. The way you keep from being complacent is you give testimony of the Word of God. Next year, you're going to see people give testimony. As a matter of fact, next Sunday, we're going to give opportunities for people to give praise to God for what God's doing in their lives. And all of us will be blessed by it. There's something about testimony. Who knows your testimony? Who knows your testimony? Big and small. Who have you told lately about your testimony? About how Jesus is working in your life? In big and small. Who was the last person you told? You need to tell them because it's good for you. And it's good for them. And it's good for everybody that hears. Does this make sense? Watch what happens next year. You're going to be hearing a lot about people giving testimony to God. Small groups, men's groups, women's groups, up here on Sunday mornings, people are going to be just saying, I want to give testimony this morning. And as we hear testimony, it focuses and says, man, he's in our midst. Do you know what happens when we get complacent? We stop seeing the lost. Tell me I'm wrong. What happens to us when we get spiritually complacent, we stop seeing lost people. Listen to this verse. Matthew 9:35-36. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Listen, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I want to read a paraphrase of this, because I think it's beautiful. This is from the Living Bible. Listen to this. Jesus traveled around through all the cities and villages of the area, teaching in the Jewish synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And wherever he went, he healed people of every sort of illness. And what pity he felt for the crowds that came, because their problems were so great and they didn't know what to do or where to go for help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus sees people differently than we do. This is something we feel that God wants us to work on next year. Take this down. Embrace a heart for the lost. To look at people the way Jesus sees people. To look at people the way Jesus sees people. So recently, a famous person in American culture became a Christian. Kanye West. Here's a picture of him. Right? Kanye West. He's married to Kim Kardashian. He's a rapper. He's one of the best-selling music artists of all time, with over 140 million records sold worldwide. He's won a total of 21 Grammy Awards, making him one of the most awarded artists of our time. He's the most awarded artist of his generation. The world sees him, and what do they see? success. People pray that they could have his life. Am I right? What does Jesus see? Lost. Problems. Doesn't know where to find answers. Harassed. Compassion. Jesus sees people differently than we do. Jesus sees him as a person with great needs. And his greatest need is his separation from God. That's why Jesus came, right? Jesus would say, you're lost without me. And Kanye West would agree. Here's a picture of him just recently on an airplane with James Corden. Have you seen this? Do you guys hear what he's doing now? Go on YouTube today and watch this. Kanye West is on an airplane. He now has a choir. He's just released a new album called Jesus is King. It's pretty straightforward, you say? It's pretty straightforward, right? So everybody's tripping out on this guy. And he's very vocal about his faith. And it was kind of cool because James went on an airplane with him. He's got his whole choir, right? And if you watch the interview, Kanye West says, it was like I'd been asleep my whole life. And I've woken up for the first time. I thought that was beautiful, didn't you? Isn't that beautiful? Listen to this. He's been in a lot of interviews lately, and here's an interview of him. It says this, quote, my job is to spread the gospel and let people know what Jesus has done for me. He says, I've spread a lot of things. There was a time when I was letting you know what high fashion has done for me. I was letting you know what the Hennessy had done for me. I was letting you know all these things, but now I'm letting you know what Jesus has done for me. And I am no longer a slave. I'm a son now. I'm a son of God, and I'm free. End quote. Is that beautiful? Do I hear an amen? He was being interviewed by Jimmy Kimmel, and he said, do you consider yourself a Christian artist now? And Kanye said, I'm just a Christian everything. The world looks at people a certain way. Jesus looks at people differently. See, we would look at him and say, he's got everything. Jesus would look at him and says, he's lost. God bless the person that shared Christ with him. Do I hear an amen? You know what that man needs right now? Our prayers. He needs our prayers that he would be grounded in his faith. He needs prayers that the soil that he is would produce great fruit. We need to pray for this guy because he's got an amazing platform. And it's so funny, I think sometimes we look at him and go, huh, well, I don't know. Hey, you know what? Just praise God for his journey. Do I hear an amen? He is making Jesus become a discussion. Wouldn't it be weird if God raises up somebody like that in these days? He needs Christ. And so does your neighbor with the new Mercedes. Do you, when you see people, what do you see? When you see people that don't know Jesus, how do you view them? Somebody looked at him and said, you need Jesus. And he began to listen. And now he says, I was a slave. What was he a slave to? Anybody? The world. Dude, he sold 140 million albums. If you sold 140 million albums, would your life be set? No. No. If you had hundreds of millions of dollars, would your life be set? The world would say yes, and Jesus would say no. What gains a person if they gain the whole world and forfeit their soul. As a matter of fact, just having a bunch of money and buying a bunch of stuff is distracting us from what is important in life. Tell me I'm wrong. I'm right, aren't I? Our brother from Kenya is right. We need prayer. And that's cool. We're so blessed. Next year, man, God is doing cool things in our church, and we give God praise for it. As a matter of fact, right after this sermon, we're going to have a time of prayer, we're going to worship, and then people are going to be dismissed. But we have an information meeting. If this is your church, if you're a member of this church, you just want to hear about things that are going on, we're going to be talking in here about, Fina's going to come up and talk about children's ministry, and David's going to talk about youth ministry, and just, this is where we see God moving and going and growing and so forth. We're going to talk about finances. And by the way, God bless you. Thank you every time you give. Our church is healthy in so many ways. This is a healthy church. We will be healthier as a church if we defend against being spiritually complacent. Do I hear an amen? We will be more healthy as a church if we embrace testimony in our lives. And we begin proclaiming Jesus to people. There's something about the Word of God and the power of testimony, the blood of Jesus and testimony that brings power. And we're going to explore that next year. And we're going to encourage you to embrace your story and to tell your story and to share your story. If you do that, we'll be more healthy as a church. Tell me I'm wrong. And we're going to pray that God will give us a heart for the lost. That we would look at a Kanye West and say, or a Kim Kardashian and say, that person needs prayer. That person needs Jesus. And we're going to pray. You know what would be really cool next year? Is if the seat that's next to you is filled next year with a person that needed Jesus. Wouldn't that be sweet? Isn't that a nice idea? That's where we're going next year. That's where we're sensing the Lord working. Does that sound cool? You cool with this? Sound right? Pray about this and tell me if you don't give confirmation of this. You are blessed here today. We get to worship the Lord in this place. Look where we live. Have you even, so I was just talking to my friend in Nashville, 20 degrees. Wow. We're 88 today. It's going to cool off. You know, I love California. Do you love California? I like it. I think this is a great place to live. Don't you? Have you thanked God for it lately? I like the sun. I like to go watch a sunset behind the ocean. Did anyone see recently in Orange County that big whale coming up to the surfers down in Dana Point a couple days ago? Anyone see that? They didn't even know it. This big, huge gray whale comes up to them, and they're all in the water, and here he comes. Hey, you don't get that in Oklahoma. We're blessed. So be thankful and be grateful. Stay focused on what is true. Seek ye first. What? The kingdom of God. All this other stuff finds its place. And it's so cool to watch a guy go, I found what's important and everything else finds its place. Pray for this guy. It's so cool. We're going to defend against this next year. We're going to just say, God, we want to stay, we're going to weed our yards, and we want to just focus on giving God testimony next year. All of you, your family, your friends, small groups. Small group, you meet on a Wednesday and you get together and you say, I just want to share, this is one thing God's did really cool in my life lately. And everybody's encouraged. That's where we're going. Does it make sense? If we do this, God's telling us to do this. So wonder what His plan is next year. It's going to be fun to watch, don't you think? Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we come before You. What? It's November, Lord. We're just blinking our eyes and this year is gone. Lord, next week we're going to be dealing with Thanksgiving. And Christmas is coming, Jesus. Children's musicals and tree lighting services. What great opportunities to bring people that are still trying to figure out life and still trying to figure out Christ. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that you would just bless us, guide us, lead us, protect us, fill us, focus us, refine us, transform us. God, make us sharper for you. Move away any weeds in our life, Jesus. God, we pray for new wine. We pray for new movements of the Lord, new revelations, new understandings, new areas of growth in our relationship with you, Jesus. This is our prayer. God, bless this church. Thank you for the amazing blessings you've given our church. Thank you for the incredible heritage this church has. Thank you, Lord, for the people that have walked before us, that has created the opportunities that we have today. Thank you, God, for this church on 5000 Branca Parkway. Thank you for what you have made us to be. And God, thank you what you're going to lead us to do in the last days, in these last days. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Okay. We're going to sing. Are we doing a new wine? Okay. So I love this song. It's called New Wine. And afterwards, we're going to do a two-song set. And so here, as always, this is what's going on. At the back half of the message, the Scripture says that if you need prayer, to seek out the leaders of the church and let them come and pray over you. If you're here today and you need prayer, if you're here today and you have a physical need and you need prayer for, or maybe a financial need, or an emotional need, or a spiritual need, maybe you're here today and you just feel like you've been convicted today and you've got to do some weeding, come up here and we'll pray with you and say, God, become the gardener, right? So I'm going to ask for my wife, Cindy, to come up and stand with me, for Pastor Graham and BJ to come up here, for, is Keziah here? Steph and Jess? Outstanding. Come up here, Steph and Jess. Be praying for us up here. Up in the balcony, we've got Pastor Vince. We've got the Chows up there. So here's the deal. If you're here today and you need prayer, we'd be honored to pray with you. But what we're going to do is we're going to worship the Lord. This is a great song called New Wine. Jesus says, I come to bring new things. So we're going to worship God. If you need prayer, we'd be honored to pray with you. And brothers and sisters, as people come up and they receive prayer, just pray a blessing over them. We're a Jesus community. So Lord, we just praise you for our time here. You are here. Your eyes are upon us. God, you know us better than we know ourselves. We come to you today in faith, in truth, and in love. We honor you today, Jesus. Receive our worship and our prayer in your name. Amen. Can I ask for the lights just be turned on a little bit? Thanks. Let's worship. Let's worship.